I always really love this Sunday, Baptism Sunday. It is so fun, and we're going to have a great time. But first, let's start with a cute story I heard. After a big rainstorm, a mother was just contentedly watching her young preschool kids playing outside, smiling and laughing, and just thinking how blessed she was. And all of a sudden, she's shocked when her little girl comes and body slams her little brother into a puddle of water. And she runs out going, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Where did you learn this kind of behavior?" And the little girl innocently looks at her mom and goes, "At church, Mom." She said, "The pastor said, in the name of the Father and in the Son and in the whole you go." Okay, some of y'all will get that. We have this journey that we take people on that's from the Bible. It's Acts chapter 9. You see this man get changed from this hard, murderous guy named Saul. And then he goes through this journey, which we call the 5 D's. He makes a decision. He gets dunked, which is our colloquial word for baptism. He gets delivered. These scales fall from his eyes. He gets discipled by a guy named Ananias and then Barnabas, and he gets into a small group of believers, and then he gets deployed. And that's really how we build this church experience, helping people walk through this journey. And so you'll see at times like Easter, we have all these people raising their hands and say, "I'm giving my life to Jesus." You'll have a chance to do that today if you've never committed your life to Jesus. Today is the day where we actually have baptisms. And so those that have accepted Jesus, following that first command. So what I want to do is explain more about baptism. So I want you to take notes today, because this is something that we as Christ followers need to be very acquainted with. This is for all of us to know and participate in. And so let me show you this first picture. This is one of my highlights of the spring. This is me and Steph on the shores of Lake Michigan. And in case you think your pastor's been living in sin and finally proposed, no, this is a reenactment. We took our son Hudson. He's going to go play football up in Chicago. And so we were there, and I said, "Hudson, take a picture of me recreating this," because we didn't have anybody to take pictures the first time. And so this is us in the exact same spot 22 years later, 23 years later. Whatever you say, dear. We're also doing a marriage class after this. when I asked Steph to marry me, I said, "Steph, I love you with all my heart. Will you marry me?" She said yes. The next thing I did was I pulled out a ring. And let me just tell you about this ring, because when I knew we were going to get married, I called one of her best friends going, like, "I have no clue what to give her." And this girl's like, "She wants a princess cut, this exact kind of ring, this clarity, you know?" And I'm like, "Oh, okay, I guess this is what women talk about." She knew exactly. But when we got engaged and I told her I love her and get down on my knee and she says yes, I didn't then go, "Okay, I need you to drop down, give 100 push-ups. I'm gonna take a test. I'm gonna give you a test. How many things do you know about me? Let's see if you can run a 40-yard dash in 4.5 seconds." There wasn't a test. I immediately gave her this ring for free and put it on her finger. That ring was a symbol of her belonging to me. She didn't have to pass a test. She didn't have to run a race. She didn't have to know a certain amount of things. You get what I'm saying with this? The Bible says this in Romans 10. It says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What got Steph and I engaged was that she believed in her heart that I wanted to marry her, she wanted to marry me, and she confessed, yes, and we were engaged. And then the ring was a symbol of what had just happened to us. And that's what baptism is. Baptism isn't something that saves you. It's a symbol of what, it's an outward symbol of what's going on internally in you. Let's dive into this. So what is baptism? Let's look at the Greek word for a moment. The Greek word baptize comes from baptizo is where we derive the English word baptize. And it means this, it means to be fully submerged. And so that is why we actually have a tub of water here today, and we're gonna actually put people fully underwater. That's actually how it happened in the Bible, as they'd go fully underwater, fully submerged, and then they'd come out of the water. And let's talk more about what baptism is and what it isn't. So today, let me just go back to my title slide today. Today I'm gonna talk about baptism, the what, where, when, why. What is it? Okay, the who, what, when, where, and why of baptism. The who, what, when, where, and why of baptism. Because I want you, as a follower of Jesus, or those that are exploring faith today, to understand what is this thing of baptism all about. It is one of the most precious gifts. It is so exciting, and it is so fun, and the enemy comes and tries to steal it away. He actually tries to steal it away. He actually tries to keep people from getting baptized. It's one of the sad things in our faith. So here's why a lot of people, because I meet a lot of Christians who have not been baptized. And you know what they say? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to get baptized. If you have that thought today, let me just say this. You're right. You weren't expecting that, were you? If you think I don't deserve to get baptized, you're right. No one deserves to get baptized. No one deserves to get saved. The scripture says this, it's by grace that you've been saved. Through faith, not by any works, or a person could boast. So you don't deserve it. It's something Jesus did for you, because this is how people see baptism oftentimes. They see it. My daughter one time came home from elementary school, and she was so excited because she had been given one of these. She had won the art contest. And so many people falsely see baptism as like this blue ribbon that only really good Christians, like once they've really worked hard enough, they've memorized a few verses, they've had perfect attendance at church for 2 weeks in a row, and they've, you know, they haven't thought many bad thoughts, they didn't, you know, cuss at someone, they didn't cut someone. Okay, now I've earned it. This is not what baptism is. Let me show you what baptism is more like. A birthday cake. Okay, that same year that Hallie got a blue ribbon, she also got a birthday cake. Well, she's got one every year of her life. You know why she gets a birthday cake? Because she was born. Way to go! Like, you have nothing to do with getting born, right? It's like all your mom and a little your dad, okay? And that's what baptism is. It's not a blue ribbon. It's not something, oh, just a few people can get. No. If you give your life to Christ, if you come to this moment where you're like, I realize I'm dead. You see, there's only two types of people. I talk about this all the time. There are only two types of people on earth. Get this through your head, because this is what scripture says. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Because of Adam and Eve, we all start dead. Because sin has entered the world, we all start spiritually dead. How do you become spiritually alive? The Bible says this, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. They would be born anew, born of the Spirit, born again. How do you get born again? You just proclaim Jesus. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So baptism is like a birthday cake, not a blue ribbon. So let's give you a few more things on what baptism is. Baptism is not what saves you. It's not what saves you. We said that in Ephesians 2. For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift. Say gift. Yes. A gift from God, not by works. So it's, number two, it's an act of obedience. Okay? It's an act of obedience. the scripture says this, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Say everyone. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So many people question their salvation for years to come because they never did the first thing that Jesus told them after they got saved. So they never did that actual symbol of going down in the water, showing that your old life is gone. So it actually helps you remember. Oh, I remember, I made this decision. I actually can look back on that day, this day in April where I went under the waters and came out. Yes, I made this public profession that I was saved. It is a symbol, number three. This is what scripture says in Colossians 2. This is an amazing scripture. Colossians 2, 11 and 12. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision, not performed by human hands. A circumcision was this cutting off of this piece of flesh. And they're saying, hey, when you're saved, the old flesh is cut off. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. We're not actually going to dig a hole and throw you in it. It's a symbol of going down in the ground and that dead, the old you saying, hey, I don't want the old Robert anymore. I don't want the old Stephanie anymore. And then we pick you up and say, and you're raised to walk in a new life, raised through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Once again, it's not your working, it's the working of God, and that's why we get baptized, to say, I'm not putting my faith in myself and all my good works. No, I'm letting myself just be put down here and then trusting that God's raising me up. Are you getting this, church? Yes. It's so beautiful. Okay, so who should get baptized? Who should get baptized? I want to look at a really cool passage in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. This is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. So you got to understand, Philip is this Jewish background guy, and Ethiopian is from Africa, from Ethiopia. He's not Jewish background. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. So this is like this guy, he's political, he's got this important role. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip went up to the chariot and heard the man reading the Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who's the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So Philip explains, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus took in his body your sins. Jesus died and was buried, and then Jesus raised from the dead, and that's how he defeats your sin. And that's how he paid for them, and that's how he washed them away. So watch what happens in the next moment. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? Okay, how long was this Ethiopian saved? A minute? Maybe two? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When he came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. That's really cool. Hope that happens to me someday. And the eunuch didn't see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Say rejoicing. Rejoicing. I got to show you these pictures. I just found a few pictures that we had of some baptisms, and I want you to see the joy. Okay, Skyler, he started as our security guard with Iron Wall. Now he's like one of the main members of our church. He's just got transformed. He's just beaming now. He's so joyful. Let's keep going. I mean, look at the smiles. I just love this. Keep going. Little kids, we don't make someone wait. Okay, we got to make sure. No, look at the children, the joy. I just love the joy going on in baptism. So who should get baptized? Let me go through a few points. Number one, this is so simple, but people who have accepted Jesus. If you've ever given your life to Jesus, raise your hand. Okay, so every one of you, that just raise your hand. You should be baptized. And here's my challenge for you today. We're going to give you a chance. We had numerous people in the last service. They didn't plan on getting baptized, but they just realized, oh, I haven't been baptized. This is what happened to Steph when she was 19 years old. She'd given her life to Jesus as a 6-year-old, and she's like, I haven't been baptized. So she got baptized at 19, and sometimes people are like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. Like, but I've seen people who gave their life to Jesus as a kid or in their 20s, and then they're getting baptized at 50 or 60. It's just when we have this understanding, oh, it's not a blue ribbon. It's just something I do when I get saved. So I want to challenge many of you. We're going to have shirts out there for you. Today's the day. Number two, this is an interesting one. People who are baptized as a baby. Okay, why would I say this? Because baptism is a decision, what you do after you repent. Okay, what does that mean? Acts 2:38. Peter preaches the gospel and says, they go, what should we do? He goes, repent and be baptized. Now, let me ask you a question. Can a little baby repent? No, I wish they could have. It would have made my life as a parent much easier. But a little baby is not conscious of their sin. They're not consciously giving their life to Jesus. So why in some churches do they baptize babies? It's a parent's desire to dedicate their child to the Lord. But is that believer's baptism? No, that's not. So I encourage everyone, if say you're like, yeah, I was baptized as a baby, that's really called christening. Or we do something similar. We do a baby dedication. We don't baptize them because that's not what we see in Scripture with babies. And so if you haven't been baptized since you've given your life to Christ, that is his command. Here's the third one. Okay, and this I've really seen impact people's life, people to whom the Spirit is speaking to about baptism. I've known numerous people who got baptized as a kid, or they got baptized because someone else was getting baptized, or someone said, hey, I'm not going to marry you or date you until you get baptized. And they're like, okay, you're really cute. And they realize, oh, the Spirit is convicting me. Like, I need to get baptized. Or for my mom got baptized as a child. It impacted me so deeply. And she did it in a church where it wasn't that common. But she was like, I have now given my life to Christ, and he is challenging me to get baptized. So at like 36, I remember my mom going and getting baptized, and I was so impacted by her obedience. And that's really when her faith took off, because she obeyed the Lord. The Scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. We're not into religion here. We're into relationship. And we want to follow our friend Jesus as he leads us. So God might be speaking to some of you about that today as well. Okay, who can baptize? Who can baptize? There is a practice in some churches that really undercuts, I think, why so many people don't get baptized, is because it's not just for priests or it's not just for pastors to baptize. So look at these scriptures. Matthew chapter 3, who baptized Jesus? Was it a priest? No, it was this wild guy in camel skin who ate crickets named John the Baptist. He didn't have any ordained, you know, or commissioned thing on his wall. He didn't have a wall. Acts chapter 8, we just saw that with the Ethiopian. It wasn't a pastor, it wasn't a priest, it wasn't a clergyman. It was this guy who served tables named Philip. We go on, we look in Acts chapter 9, the next chapter. Who baptized Paul, the super apostle who wrote half the book of the Bible? No, it was Ananias, who's just known as a disciple. A disciple. And then look at what Jesus says in the Great Commission. He's not talking to pastors. He's not talking to apostles and priests. He says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. We did a whole series on all of us being called to make disciples. But look at what it says next. baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are commissioned to baptize. So we're going to have a bunch of people baptized at the end of the service. And I want each of you, and of course, I baptized some people, but I get even more excited when you're baptizing people. One of my highlights of last fall, we had all these football players from one of my son's football teams getting saved, and they came to get baptized, and they get in the water, get baptized, get out wet, and baptize the next person. Like, how long do you need to have been saved before you baptize someone? No, it's just you're following Jesus, right? So there's not some timeline. That's also not a blue ribbon. It's just something Jesus tells us to do. So here's my phrase. Who can baptize someone? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're commissioned to baptize people. All right, so why do we get baptized? Why do we get baptized? First of all, to follow the example of Jesus. To follow the example of Jesus. Christian means little Christ. Now, we're not a God like him, but we are a Christ follower. And the first thing Jesus did when he went public with who he was he got baptized. So Jesus himself walked down in the water. I mean, it blew John away, but he's like, this is what we do as followers of me, is we get baptized. And so Jesus himself gets baptized. And so that's what we want to follow. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Number two, to obey his commands. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Don't not get baptized. That's a double negative. Sometimes we're like, man, why isn't God speaking to me? Like, I had this amazing salvation experience. It's because the Lord will often speak and then wait until you do what he said. Are you following me? So he's like, I'm not just going to just heap commands on you if you're not doing the very first thing I said. So that is why when people get baptized, we often see their faith just taking off because they're actually being obedient. And so he's like, okay, I can trust you. So I'm going to give you more. But it's not something that you have to be a certain level. It's just what we do as followers of Jesus. Thirdly, to demonstrate to ourselves and to the world outwardly what's happened internally. It's that wedding ring. Stephanie's like, I'm engaged. I'm wearing that. I'm showing myself. Like I'm setting a time where I remember, like, this is what happened to me. You go under, but you're also saying, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm willing to join him in doing what he did. I'm willing to go under the water and come out saying, I'm new in you. Oh, it's such a joy. Where should you get baptized? Well, if you're in this room, in this tub. But this is what you see in Scripture. You don't have to wait for some super formal occasion. We were talking about last fall, we were about to do our baptism in the fall as well. And so we were doing that and we're talking about it in life group. And so all these kids were like, I'm going to get baptized this Sunday. And then one kid was like, I want to get baptized. I was like, awesome. So come Sunday. And he's like, no, I've got to do it now. I'm like, now? He's like, yes. So we fit the whole youth group in our bathroom and he got in the tub. And we were like, ugh. But where do you get baptized? In Scripture, I mean, the Ethiopian eunuch, it's like, it's in ponds and overseas, man. We're anywhere we can go. And sometimes, I mean, one guy, we didn't have a tub. So we just threw him in the shower and just turned it on. We're just like, be baptized, right? Where should you get baptized? Wherever there is water. Wherever, that is what we see in Scripture. And let's go to this last point. When should you get baptized? When should you get baptized? That's what I love about the story of the Ethiopian. Philip, in verse 35, he explains the scripture, tells them the good news about Jesus. The very next thing, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" Boom, he got baptized immediately. That is the model in scripture. Once again, I know that there's some good intentions when different churches do it, but it's not the biblical model when they say you have to go through this class, you have to write out this dissertation, you have to have this, you know, this thing or this. No, it is you put your faith in Jesus and you get baptized. So when should you get baptized? Immediately. And then my next point is, when should you get baptized? You should get baptized today. And we're going to give you a chance in a minute, but I've been going through these W's, who, what, when, where, why. But let me end with a last W that's not in my notes, but I felt it strongly, a warning. A warning. The scripture says that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I've had so many friends that have died. But I want to give a warning to us as the body of Christ. We were having this conference, and Francis Chan this past weekend was talking, or the weekend before last, was talking about Israel and how Israel is the time clock. And when Israel became a state in 48, it showed like the end of the end times, because it is a prophetic picture of what God's doing in the earth. Like Jesus is going to come back to Israel, and he's coming back when Israel's regathered. And like after 2,000 years, they're regathered. That happened in 48. It's a miracle. But the weird thing is while he's talking, and he's talking about Joshua leading people into the promised land, and how Joshua is the Hebrew word name for Jesus, and how Jesus was foreshadowed throughout the Bible, and everything's pointing to Israel. And then, guys, that night, Iran attacks. Like that night. And you know, Francis is like, this is just crazy. And Francis is up preaching, and my son goes, "Dad, are those my shoes that Francis is wearing?" And I'm like, "No, Francis is not wearing your shoes." But I look, and Francis has on these shoes. And so I'm like, "No, those are his shoes. I'm wearing your shoes." Because I always take my son's shoes because I really think they're cool. And I'm like, that's so silly, a teenager, that's classic teenager. Like, he's preaching the most profound message and he's thinking about his shoes. And I'm walking up, and as I walk up, I feel like the Spirit says, "No, that was a prophetic sign. Your son, Joshua," the Hebrew word for Jesus, just said, "Are those my shoes?" We're supposed to be clothed in Christ. And then he's talking about the Hebrew, the Jews coming to, and I had this experience I don't have time to talk about getting a pair of shoes like this, that about the nations coming to the Lord. And so the next day, Francis texts me and says, "I'm still kind of blown away by us wearing the same shoes and there being this prophetic word and your son Joshua." And he goes, "You know who gave me my shoes? Ezekiel, my son." And I was like, so Joshua gave me mine and Ezekiel gave you yours. And Ezekiel is the prophet who prophesied Israel coming back and the restoration in Ezekiel 37. But in Ezekiel 38, it talks about Persia invading Israel. And if you don't know, in 1935, Persia changed its name to Iran. And furthermore, in that chapter, it talks about people in unwalled cities, which had never happened in Israel because Israel always had walled cities, people in unwalled cities being attacked and surprised. And that's what happened on October 7th. And so I'm not going to talk about dates because no one knows the hour. But what I am saying is this, church, like, I think we're living in an Ezekiel 38 moment. Some of you clapped, some of you went, I think both responses are appropriate.
here's how we respond. We need to get our lives in order. I believe with all my heart, Jesus is coming back in our lifetime. The scripture says, when you see the leaves of the fig tree turning green again, and the fig tree is always representing Israel, Matthew 24, he says, this generation won't pass away until I return. And in the scripture, a generation's 100 years. I really believe I'm going to see Jesus come back. I really believe most of you will see him. And when he does, you don't want to be messing around. You want to have your life in order. You want to respond to the gospel, because those are the ones that are going up with him. And you want to be about the gospel, because that's the only thing you can take up with you is other people. Well, let's stand up. I want to give you a chance. Would you just pray right now? I want to give all those numerous people that did in the other service. If you're not 100% sure you're giving your life to Christ, can we all close our eyes right now? Now is the time. The scripture says, today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. And so for some of you, God's knocking on the door of your heart. You feel it. You feel that tug. Every eye closed. If you need to give your life to Jesus, or you need to, you go, man, I've been walking far from him. I need to come back today. I just want to pray with you right now, so you can confess Jesus as Lord and put your faith and your heart in him, so you can be saved, so you can be born again. Every eye closed right now. This is the most important moment right now. If you need to give your life to Jesus, just say this with me. Just say, dear Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising from the dead for me. Come into my heart. Take away my sin. And make me new in you. Help me to follow you forever. And all over this room right now, as you're praying, I want to pray for those who are giving their life to Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand all over this room. Just wave at me. Thank you. Who else? Just raise your hand boldly. Thank you. Who else? Just boldly raise your hand. Look up at me. Thank you. Who else? Just wave at me. Thank you. Who else? Just wave at me. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Thank you back there. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, I just want to thank you for all these ones giving their life to you right now. We thank you that you're taking their sins away and your spirit is coming in their hearts right now in Jesus' name. You can look up at me, church. Today is a day for baptism. And for you that just raise your hands, I want to encourage you, get baptized today. That's the biblical model. For some of you during this message, you were like, I haven't been baptized. Or I was baptized as a baby, or I was baptized as a kid, and God is telling me I need to get baptized. Look at this shirt. This is what we're gonna give you. I'm gonna have you walk out the back door. There's gonna be tons of people. You can actually start doing that now if you wanna get baptized today. We're gonna put one of these shirts on you. It says, living proof of a loving God. It's not, because it's not something you earn, it's something he does for you. So if God's tugging on your heart to be baptized, even some of you kids that walked in, if you want to get baptized, you can talk to your parent real quick. But I want you just all over this room. You didn't have to plan on it. You didn't have to prepare for it. Just start walking out right now. We're going to give you one of these shirts. We're going to sing some worship songs. You're going to line up on this side, and you're just going to come, and we're going to baptize you, and we're going to have a joyful occasion. If God's putting it on your heart, let me just be bold as a big brother in the Lord. Don't wait. Get your life right now. You won't regret it. It's one of the most joyful things that you can do in your life. Lord, pray. We pray right now. Let's just pray. Give courage to every person that needs to respond, that they would show that they are living proof of a loving God. Lord, I pray that no one would wait. Lord, we don't know if we have tomorrow. And so, Lord, we want to be a people who hear your voice and respond. And then we want to celebrate as the people of God the new life. Stephen, let's go into worship. You can walk out the doors right now. There's tons of people out there. The pastors are waiting for you. They're going to give you one of these shirts. There's nothing special that you have to do. This is a free gift of God. Let's worship, and then we're going to celebrate a lot of baptisms.
This is our story. And in the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Sing praise the Father with me. We sing praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake, you died. Oh, praise the Father. We say, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit.
Tons of people flooding in to get baptized. Let's give them a huge hand for obeying Jesus. We're celebrating them today. Let's move all the way to right here, and let's introduce the people that are getting baptized today.
All right, everybody. Should we all take a seat, actually, so everybody can see? Awesome. Hey, we have a lot of baptisms today. This is really exciting. We're about to baptize some people, so I'm going to come down the line. And I'm going to ask them their name and why they're getting baptized. And that's a long line. You got to scoot all the way up if you can. I'm going to have to squeeze back there with you. All right. Let's go. Hi, what's your name?
Edelai.
Hi, why are you getting baptized today?
Because my parents didn't want it to be like a forced thing. So now I've decided to give my life to Jesus.
Come on, praise God.
That's amazing.
Hi, what's your name?
Claire.
Hi, why are you getting baptized today?
Come on, publicly.
Praise God, let's go. Hi, what's your name?
Naomi.
Naomi, why are you getting baptized today?
Because he is my Lord and Savior.
Come on, woo! Let's go.
That's awesome.
Praise God. What's up, bro? What's your name?
Wilmer.
Wilmer, why are you getting baptized today?
I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ.
Come on.
That's it.
Amen, amen. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Audrey.
Audrey, why are you getting baptized today?
Because I love Jesus and I trust him and his plans for me.
Come on.
Hi, what's your name?
Cindy Ingram.
And why are you getting baptized today?
I need Jesus in my life.
Come on.
Amen, amen, amen. What's up, bro? What's your name?
O'Shea.
And why are you getting baptized today?
To hear the word more.
Amen.
Come on.
Let's go. You're definitely going to have that. Hey, bro, what's your name?
Nolan.
Nolan, why are you getting baptized today?
Because Jesus has been so faithful in my life. I want to continue to be faithful.
Come on.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Squeeze by it. Hey, what's your name?
My name's Tyler.
Tyler, why are you getting baptized today?
Because I love Jesus and I want to obey him for the rest of my life.
That's
praise
beautiful.
God. All right, buddy. Hey, what's your name?
Mickey.
And why are you getting baptized today?
Because I love Jesus.
All right.
Amen. Let's go. What's up, bud? What's your name?
Ricky.
Ricky, why are you getting baptized today?
Jesus.
Woo! Jesus.
That's all you need.
Easy answer. Hi, what's your name?
Emmy.
Emmy, why are you getting baptized today?
To get closer to Jesus.
Come on.
Come on, praise God. Hey, what's your name?
Isis.
And why are you getting baptized today?
Because I want to get closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen, let's go. Hi, what's your name?
Cynthia.
And why are you getting baptized today?
Tired of going my way, tired of going the ways of the world, and I just want to go Jesus' way.
Yes.
Amen. So good. Hi, what's your name?
Annabelle.
Why are you getting baptized today?
Amen.
So sweet. Hey, what's your name?
Samaya.
Samaya, why are you baptized today?
I'm ready to give my all to Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. Why don't you scoot on up, guys? As close as you can. Hi, what's your name?
Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine. Why are you getting baptized today?
Because I love Jesus.
Praise God. Let's go. Wow. There's awesome. A line. Oh, my goodness gracious, guys. All right. Hey, what's your name?
My name is Noah.
Noah, why are you getting baptized today?
Because I was baptized when I was very young, and I want to do it again because now I really believe that I should.
Come on, Noah.
You getting baptized? Oh, yeah. What's your name, bro?
Aiden.
And why are you getting baptized today?
Why not?
You understand, sir? It's in him.
Why not?
Let's go.
Jesus.
What's your name?
Colin.
Colin, why are you getting baptized today?
Ready to give myself to Jesus Christ.
Come
Let's
on.
Go. Come on. Get baptized. That's right.
Esther.
Esther. Why are you getting baptized today?
Because Jesus never fails and he's always loved me.
Yeah.
Let's go. Praise God. Oh, wow. Hi. What's up, bro? What's your name?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, why are you getting baptized today?
I just want to be an obedient child of God.
Come on.
Praise God.
Hey,
We're
Jonathan.
Still going back.
Hold on. Jonathan, some of your family's getting baptized, right? Hey, I want all of y'all's family getting together because that's one of the things that happened. Can y'all all go to one spot?
Oh, yeah.
If you're a part of Jonathan's family, can y'all all go to one spot? Or Jonathan, you go to them. This is a whole household getting baptized.
Come on.
God saved all these ones together. Just amazing.
Hold on, I gotta interview this one family member.
All right, keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt, Hudson.
Hi, you're part of Jonathan's family. What's your name?
Andrea, and I'm a Jesus Christ believer, so amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hi. Are you getting
baptized?
Oh, come on. There are all these people getting baptized, so I didn't meet yet. Hi, what's your name?
Alexandra.
Alexandra, why are you getting baptized today?
Because I want to feel closer to the Lord.
Come
amen.
On.
Amen, amen, amen. Come on up. Amen, what's your name?
Isaiah.
Isaiah, why are you getting baptized today?
To have a closer relationship with the Lord.
Praise God.
Love
Let's
it.
Go. Come on up. Hi, what's your name?
Daniela.
Daniela, why are you getting baptized today?
Because Jesus Christ said so.
Amen. Let's go. Come on. Hi, what's your name?
Ashley.
Ashley, baptized today.
Because I love Jesus.
Amen, let's go. Great, that's everybody. Let's get this party started.
Come on. Okay, we're gonna worship and we're gonna just start baptizing people, okay? So let's go crazy when they get baptized. Let's worship. You can stand up because you'll be able to see it on the screen here. If you're a family member and you wanna take a picture, feel free to get up and come right here. And this is what we do. We get people in the water. There's not a big ceremony. We just say buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in new life. Let's go back into worship.
To the King of Kings. Sing in the darkness. Oh, in the darkness we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father. We say, praise the Father. To reveal King. kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering, you saw
yeah,
to
Cedric,
the
Cedric,
other
what language
side.
Were y'all speaking? French,
knowing
right there, that was awesome.
Was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake, you died. You died for us. Praise the Father. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three in one. God of glory, majesty. Praise forever to the King of Kings. You say praise the Father, praise the hallelujah, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame, for this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free, for the love of Jesus Christ, who is resurrected me. We say praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. We say praise the Father, praise the Son, the world, all hail King. give you glory, sing. Oh, hey, King Jesus. Oh, hail the Lord of heaven and earth. Oh, hail King Jesus, the Savior. Oh, hail the Savior of the world. Oh, hail King Jesus, you're so good.